Hell yeah. It is time for another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and we're going to get some education today, which is great. That's really what we're mainly here for. And so I am here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi, everybody.
And it's on. We are going to learn some stuff today. And in order to do that, Michael is going to take the lead, and I'm going to ask stupid questions because Michael is by far the more experienced grievance handler among the two of us. So what's the topic for today?
Well, I thought the things that what stewards do for the process and how it works.
Okay. Like, what is the actual process of filing a grievance?
Yeah,
what's
done what at each goes step? Stuff what, like that. What the steward does to file a grievance.
That's great. I think that's something that'll be interesting to our listeners, because so often on like ADA Arbitration or some of the other shows, they really get high level with, you know, you kind of have to know already what's going on in order to, like, when I first started as a steward, I was listening to ADA Arbitration and a lot of the material was just going over my head.
Yeah. And then after, it's not at the beginning process.
That's exactly right. And then after I'd been a steward for like 6 months, I went back and listened again, and suddenly it made a lot more sense, and right. I was able to gather a lot more information. So, all right. So, with that in mind, do tell.
All right. So, being a steward, when you do grievances, there are going to be multiple things that we're going to file, which is a contract, and basically two things, contract and discipline.
Right.
And right. So you're going to be doing one or the other.
Right. Here in our branch, when we're assigned grievance numbers, at the end, it'll either have a C or a D, because those are the two things.
That's how we do it at this branch.
Right. It's all internal, different just for record keeping.
Do different things.
And the grievance number is just for tracking. Yeah. Like, it's not a critical part of the settlement, except that you got to keep track of them.
Right. Yeah. So that you know how to find it and so
forth. Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, the grievance process. contracts and... And discipline is a different matter, okay? But what the steward does is that once they realize there is a grievance, mm-hmm. and they have to get RFI, which is a request for information.
Okay, so let's go back even a step further.
Okay.
How, because this is something that I think people really need to know. How does a steward even realize that there might be a grievance?
So to get the grievance, you get statement from a carrier.
Right.
And the discipline, obviously, you get the discipline letter from the management that
right.
the carrier gives to you.
Do either of those things go to the steward automatically?
No.
They do
it
not.
It has to be given
right.
to the steward.
There are some places where their local agreement says that if a carrier is issued discipline, that a copy of it goes to the union. Mm-hmm. But that's certainly not that's not how it works where we are.
Right. So it is different. Now, so a lot of the stuff that I'm saying is what goes here.
There may be little
and
nuances.
And what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is different for other people, but this is what I do in my process.
Right. And I really want to drive the point home that stewards don't automatically know when there's a grievance. It has to be brought to our attention, or we have to go looking for it, or something like that. Yeah. Like, sometimes it'll be
technically
obvious.
Technically, we're not supposed to fish
for
grievances.
Yeah. I can't just say, hey, give me all the clock rings from last week. I want to go through there and see if there's a grievance. No, I have to have a specific problem in mind. Yep.
And so, but the thing is, a lot of times, you know, as stewards, you know where the problem is. That's what you wanted. But management may excuse saying, hey, you're fishing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'll give you an example. Let's say that as regular carrier has a disagreement with their supervisor in the morning, maybe over their 3996, and they argue back and forth. Is there a grievance there? Possibly.
Possibly. So as a steward, you can request us to get a copy of the 96.
Well, but even before that, all right, I want to talk about where the grievance comes from in the first place, because you have, like, again, the stewards don't automatically know. So the carrier has to bring it to the attention of the steward. Mm-hmm. That's really step one of the grievance process, to tell the steward.
Yeah. So, and a lot of times management will try to stop the carrier to talk to the steward.
Oh, they definitely will. Yeah.
But, you know, that's another matter that we can talk about.
Right. Okay?
But it is a lot of response. It comes from the carriers to notify the steward that, hey, there is a grievance.
Right. Or I think there's a grievance.
And when a steward sees something is being broken on the rules.
Right.
And they can file on that.
Yeah. Thing. Stewards can absolutely be mm-hmm. proactive and file grievance. And they should be, mm-hmm. you know, like, and if you like hear arguing, walk over there, see what the argument's about.
Right.
And what's the timeline here?
We have 14 days to make sure.
Not just here. That's in the contract.
Yeah. Saying that we have 14. But in the contract also says is that when the union is notified, you have 14 days.
When the union becomes aware or reasonably could have become aware, should have become aware, whatever.
So there's
a, there's a little bit of wiggle room depending on what the situation is. Yeah, like for example, so let me ask you a question, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but let's say I'm doing my weekly overtime equitability. Mm-hmm. So I get that report at the end of the week that shows the overtime hours. And then while I'm looking at that, so I get that the weekend's on Friday. So maybe I get that on Saturday. I'm looking at the stuff on Saturday and I see that, hey, on Tuesday, a carrier worked 12 and a half hours. And that's a grievance. Mm-hmm. Well, it may not be a grievance anymore, but just for the sake of argument, you know, that carrier worked 12 and a half hours. When does the clock start ticking on that grievance?
Well, so that's a big question because it goes both ways, you know, in technicality wise and in the contract says when you were notified, which means that's when you found out there was a violation.
Right. When you become aware of it or reasonably should have become aware.
Our branch has gotten weak where it's saying, no, that's the date when that was violation happened.
When it happened.
Because they don't want to make the fight that argument because they're being lazy. Okay. And so on that. Because
then you have to fish.
So on that, because of that happens, either you know you're going to file that grievance right away or you have to get extension. And if not, then you just send it straight down to the halls because when it goes down to the hall, our formal A, they get another one.
Another 7 days.
You're finding ways to get more time on it if you know it's going to be delayed, you know. But those are some other things you got to do, the more technical things.
Right. All right. So it comes to our attention and we have 14 days. Let's just say for simplicity's sake, from the day that it happened, we have 14 days.
Yes.
And it starts 14, starts counting from the next day. So that if it happens on Tuesday, then you have till 2 weeks from Tuesday.
Right. You know, 14 days. So now you're requesting for information. So if you know there is a contract violation, then you get the information where the contract was violated.
Okay? Right.
And so you get that information.
Give an example of a contract violation.
Like an Article 8 violation where somebody got mandated.
Sure.
So you want to get their clock rings. You want to get their overtime alert report, daily performance report.
Something to prove that the carrier was mandated. Made to work overtime. Like an 8-hour carrier was made to work overtime.
And you also want to have a copy of your sheets on who signed up for the overtime list. So that you know that they're not on the overtime
list. Right, because you may have to prove that that carrier isn't on the overtime list, but that they're 8 hours on.
If you were to work with management, there's that cooperation, then you shouldn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that shouldn't really be in question.
Just in case you get that.
Yeah, and if it goes up to the next level, you know, if it goes to like step B,
then you're going to need
that because they don't know who's on the overtime list and who isn't. Right, so it's part of building this file if it's going to move to the next level.
Exactly.
If it gets settled at informal A at the very first step,
then who cares?
It's all square. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. You've all agreed and you're good to go.
Yeah.
But if somebody, a stranger, is going to have to argue about it, you better set that stranger up for success.
Exactly. And then RFI, which is a request for information. So I'm going to refer as RFI from now on. And so the RFI, when it's a discipline, and there's a lot of different things that can matter because depending on the discipline, you're going to need to get information on other things. So so as a steward, you have to know what the problem is so you know what to get for information.
Right. And it's all centered around building and proving your case.
Exactly. And that's where we have the right as a steward to get all information. And when management says, no, you can't get that information. In reality, we have the right to information for anything that's Postal Service related.
Irrelevant to the processing of the grievance.
If let's say it's a it's a harassment issue or something.
Okay.
And it's a repeated violation by a manager.
Right.
Okay. And so we know that this manager is being, very harassing and violent behavior or whatever.
Okay.
And you can request from the Postal Service their discipline file.
Ah, the discipline that the postal office has issued against that supervisor. Ah,
you have that right to find to get more information on that person.
I can see how that would be relevant to show like a pattern of behavior.
Pattern of behavior, exactly. Right. Which manual most of the time lie to say, that doesn't exist.
Right, yeah.
How does that not exist?
Or they'll push back and say that that's not relevant.
Right.
You know, that you can't ask for that because it's not
relevant. Yes, we can. We have the right to get all that information.
Right. They can ask you, why is this relevant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll need to have an answer. Well, but like if they don't give it to you, that's another grievance.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, those are the procedure we do. Okay. Now.
So this is all at the beginning. Just to recap, a potential grievance is brought to the attention of the steward, usually by the carrier or their own action or whatever. Then the steward starts investigating. And this is just to see, is there a grievance here?
Right.
Because there may not be. There were times when I investigated a mandate and then I saw that, like, hey, every overtime carrier did actually work up to 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So now the mandate is legitimate, or it was 10 hours or whatever. And so, okay, there's no grievance here. And sometimes that'll happen.
But see, how about when those carriers are at home? But you know what?
Yeah.
That's another matter we can talk about.
That's getting into the weeds. Yeah.
So anyway, as a steward, the process, the you have to get all the information possible before you start writing up a grievance.
Right.
Okay? Because you can't really do the grievance without the information that you're going to need.
Of course. That's how you prove your case.
Like for me, sometimes I'll write notes on what other things I'm going to need.
Right.
Okay. Now, I've done it for 10 years, so sometimes I just know it in my head what I need. Sure. And just go right away.
And then we tend to get the same grievances over and over again. Right. So you kind of have a template.
What to ask for. I just know in my head, so I just write down what I need.
So let's give an example. Like if it's because the most common discipline is probably like attendance. So if you're going to fight against a discipline for attendance, what sort of documents are you going to ask for?
Well, first of all, on an attendance,
you want the charge letter.
Right. On the discipline is a different matter.
Okay, so let's, all right, because, we'll stick to contract.
Because when you're requesting for information is that you want to get all information that was used by management to issue this discipline.
Right, what did they rely on?
Any interviews, any tapes, videos of any kind that they use to issue discipline that you need a copy of.
Right.
Now, like a tennis discipline, you also will need clock rings. You will also need 3972 on the times they called in sick.
Okay.
So let's explain what these are.
The clock rings are your time records of when you work.
So I don't want to go over so many of these.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Because we're into broad strokes.
Yeah, what the stewards do. These are things you can find out on your own on some of the things.
Right.
I don't want to go in total.
Yeah, listen to aid arbitration for all that stuff.
On that stuff, I can go on for six hours of how all these procedures work.
But the steward is now in the process of trying to build their case.
Yeah.
Now, is this... What are they doing? Like, is this done on the clock at work?
Of course it's going to be done on the clock.
There you go. Work. Yeah, that's the right answer. And so when that steward isn't carrying their route, and that means that you as a fellow carrier have to do like auxiliary assistance on their route, this is why.
If you deal with the branch like we have right now, is that, you know, you can request to do steward time at work and they deny it and you do it at home. And then our branch officer would say, well, there's not enough proof. I'm not paying you. Okay. So I do not recommend to do anything at home.
No, you want to try to avoid that as much as possible. Yeah.
So you don't have to deal with that.
Right.
Because you have your own personal life. So if it's work.
And this is very well established that management is to pay you for your union time, whatever time
On
the clock. Right. Yes. Whatever time that you think you need for the processing of this grievance.
And if they don't give it to you, that is actually
another grievance.
That is actually a labor violation if they don't give you the time that you need to do the grievance.
Exactly. So that's all done on the clock. And that's what your steward, at least in theory, is doing when they're sitting in the break room or they're sitting in their union office.
Yeah.
Instead of carrying the mail, they're doing this investigation. They're looking through these clock rings. They're doing, you know, reading the contract.
This current regime at our...
Let's not focus too much on that.
I'm talking about the current regime as in our executive office presidency.
In Washington.
Washington is trying to pass a rule saying that, you know...
Oh, you're talking about Congress.
Yeah, and Congress is saying our union cannot do anything on the clock. It's got to be done at our own time.
Right. Yeah. We can no longer do grievance procedures.
Just to let you guys know that there is fight on that.
Please donate to the Letter Carrier Political Fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so now the process then is getting all the information.
Okay? Yeah.
Once you get while you're getting all the information, now what you're doing is you're trying to print out and have all the paper that you need. So that could be if you have a computer, you can print out all the article information that you need. You can print them out so you have that ready.
Right.
Or, you know, if you don't have a printer, you know, then, you know, write down what article that you're going to be using so that you know where to go look for it. And because, you know, writing by hand, it sometimes takes a lot because especially if you're copying off what the article says.
Right.
Because when you're copying off something that was a book, it could take literally one paragraph could take up your whole page handwriting it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay? That's very true.
And so
Yeah, it's so, definitely better to do this stuff on the computer if you can.
If you can. But unfortunately, I know there's a lot of stewards out there that got to do it by hand.
Yeah, that's okay? true.
And so that takes a lot of time and effort, and you will go through a lot of pins because, you know, you got to do all that. And I always use post office paper. That could be their copier paper, whatever right. it is.
If I need to make copies, I'm using their copier.
Their paper.
Yeah, sure. Okay? Right.
But one thing I do recommend as steward is always keep a notebook so that you can keep track of, say, hey, I need to remember to do this, remember to do that, right. and do this grievance by this time. And that's where you got to have a calendar. If you have a calendar on your cell phone, put say, hey, this grievance needs to be done by this day. So you put an alarm on there saying, hey, it's got to be done by this day. So right. there's a lot of time tracking that you got to do as a steward.
Right. Time management is something that I really struggled with when I first started as a steward. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to get behind because management always wants to say, oh, well, we're busy today. You know, you'll have your steward time at some point in the future.
Yeah. And that is where people, as stewards, are forgetting. Okay. Uh-huh. When you request time, they have to provide you an answer when they can give you the time by end of tour.
There you go. So they have to either not let you do it now day. Or they have to tell it you says, when they're going to the let you do it.
Contract says they have to notify by end of tour when they can give you time.
There you go. Right. And if they don't, it's another grievance.
And same with the information request. They have to provide you with information within end of your tour if you request that in the morning.
Okay? I don't think that's in the contract.
Yes, it
I think
is it in just the contract. Says a reason. 100% guaranteed it's in the contract.
All right.
By end of tour.
I'm going to defer to Michael.
Okay. And not it doesn't say in 24 hours. It actually says end of tour.
Okay.
Okay. All that right. That means dude. If they ask you, when you request information in the morning, they're supposed to provide it to you by end of tour. Now,
hey, so there's a
union and management cooperation. So most of the time, we are the nice people as stewards. And we allow management to give it to us the next day or two for the information. But the actual rule is they're supposed to give it to us by end of tour.
All right. So you guys, listeners, are really good about writing to classesofmail@gmail.com and telling me how much you like having Michael on. And I like it, too. But don't be afraid to write up if Michael makes any misspeaks on here. And it turns
so you think I'm wrong.
I'm not.
Okay.
I don't know the stuff as well as you, right? And that's why you're taking the lead on this one. And I'm so just asking questions.
I can tell you this right now. Because I brought this up at a steward meeting.
Okay.
And our EVP at the current time, which was not the one that's now. Previous. They all, and the current vice president, all mentioned, hey, you have to know it within 24 hours. And I said, no, that's not true. It says it's it by end of tour. And it was proven the next day.
Nice.
So I know that good it's job. True because I've read that part many times. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so when management gives me all the credit, you're supposed to give it to me by end of tour. Well, I'm just being nice and then you give it to me the next day.
Right. Yeah. Okay? Granting that courtesy. Uh-huh. I don't have
because
to.
Because I'm working with you. Right. So you need to work with me.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Look at that. Yeah. Michael moving and shaking. All right. So all of this is what's called the informal step A.
Yeah. That's where we're at.
Right. This is where just your steward and that's what your station.
We're talking about. I'm not talking about anything that's higher level than us. Oh, okay. Cool. We're only going to talk about what's happening at the informal A to up to maybe a formal A a little bit.
Okay. So now at this point, the steward has, they know what the grievance is. Mm-hmm. They've gathered their information. Right. Okay. What happens next?
Highlighting.
Go on.
Okay. That's what I call it highlighting. Okay. Is that all the contentions that you want to use to make the argument on that grievance.
Right.
Is that you're going to have to circle or highlight the things that you want to do so you're going to all the information that you got and you got to circle it or whatever it
is. So like
make a memorandum of it. Now, you don't want to make a lot of scribbles or whatever where people can't read it because if you send it to a higher level and it's all scratched up,
they're not going to be able to
read
it.
So you have to use a highlighter or something that people can read.
So for example, if you're arguing something in Article 8, you're going to print out from the JCAM like page 8-12 and you're going to highlight the relevant section.
Right. So you know the arguments.
Right.
Okay.
And if you're arguing something that's in the clock rings, then you have this page of clock rings and you're going to highlight the part of the clock rings that's the violation.
Because you don't want to go through when you're writing up the contention to look for that information.
Right.
That takes
make it
so
easy
long.
To find. Yeah.
That way you already have it highlighted so you know where to find
when
it.
When you found it, highlight it, and then you don't have to dig for it every time.
Because when you're printing it, you know where it's at.
Right.
So might as well highlight it at that time because that's why you printed it, because you know where it's at.
Look at the brains on this guy.
And so once you have all the information and you highlight the stuff that you want to use as contentions, then great. And once that is done, now you start doing the contention process. Okay.
Okay.
Now, there's a problem at my station and our branch where they were like, oh, we don't need to do the contentions. We can do it all verbally. Okay.
Okay.
Don't do it verbally. Okay, the only way to do it verbally is this. Is you go up to a manager and says, hey, man, I think this discipline you did was wrong because of these reasons, and I think you need to get it thrown out. And the management at that time agrees that, you know what, you're right. Let's throw that out. Then you don't want them to change their mind. So get the 8190, which is our grievance form,
right,
and have management sign their papers to throw that grievance out. Right. Or to throw the discipline out.
Yeah, that's it. It's totally settled.
And then now it's totally settled, and since you don't have to file a grievance on it anymore because it's getting thrown out.
Right, but even
that's
then,
when you do verbal.
The contract isn't super clear on how the 8190 isn't even required to settle a grievance at
that is a postal
way.
Form to use as a proof that this
right
is how
to memorialize the grievance. It's not required in the contract, but it's a good idea and it's pretty standard practice.
It actually says that in the contract to use 8190.
It says that you can use form 8190. Well, yeah, all right, that's fine. Okay. Deferring to Michael. Yes. You are correct. I mean, everybody uses the 8190. It's fine.
If you don't use 8190 and you have a signed signature from a management that agrees to whatever settlement you did on a piece of paper, sure, why not?
They're not going to be able to say, oh, I didn't agree to that, because there it is. You've got it. But yeah, the 8190 is formalized.
It's preferred because it's easier to
it's
read.
It's standard. Everybody knows what it is.
People's names, what grievance number is, what station you're at, what branch you're at. It tells you all that information on there.
There's room for like 15, like box 15 or whatever, that is, you know, where you put like, did management violate Article 8 of the National Agreement?
That would be the issue statement.
There you go. Okay. All right. So
you're going jumping ahead of me.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Then I didn't realize that.
The whole process right now is we're gathering information.
Okay. Gotcha.
So 8190 is when you're starting to fill out the contention.
Okay, so we're not there yet. That's fine.
We're just gathering information.
Okay, we're still getting
information
ready to meet.
You're putting it together. Right. Okay? While you're gathering information, you're already requesting steward time so that management has to give you the steward time. So you're getting it all prepared. So once the management gives you the time, so you can actually sit down and write up the grievance, because now you have all the information.
Oh, and the contentions are like what you're argument.
That's your argument.
Right. My contention is that they shouldn't have had Michael work overtime when Alan was available.
Right.
That's a contention.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you.
So let's say that you're the overtime carrier.
Right.
And I'm the
eight hour only carrier. Right.
And they mandated me.
Right.
But then you were available.
Right. So my contention
is. They told you to go home.
Right.
But yet they mandated me.
Right.
My contention is that they used you.
Now I
have to make an argument.
When they should have used me.
Yeah, on why
I'm right and not there. And I'm also contending that that violates Article 8.5G or whatever.
And that's where you highlight it so you can use that.
You're right. These are all contentions. The contentions are your arguments.
Exactly. Your arguments. Okay?
Right on.
And the reason that you're writing up the contentions is that when you're ready to talk and sit down with manager, is that you already have everything else ready to argue with.
Right. You don't want to forget something important when you're going to sit down in front of management. You've got
to
be
ready. If you just
go
there to do it verbally, you're probably going to forget what to say on some things.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you have it written down, you're not going to forget stuff.
So one of the things I started doing, because I had a pretty good relationship with management. They were pretty reasonable. And so sometimes, like before I would do a lot of this work, I would go to management and I would say like, hey, this is what I'm looking at. You know, this is, I think, what the grievance is. Do you want to just settle it now for... you know, like to pay Michael his time or, you know, whatever the settlement would be. Or do you want me to do all this research, all these contentions, and we're going to come to the same agreement after 5 hours of union time?
So that's where I think that you're not understanding on that.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
So when we talk verbally, are you actually in doing that as a favor to the carrier or favor to management?
Oh, to the carrier. Well, to myself. In a way.
Exactly.
Because I can skip right
to the
finish.
Because you're skipping and being kind of lazy about it, right?
But if it gets the exact same result, like I'm not going to do that shortchange the carrier.
Because when I said if the manager agrees to throw the discipline out, sure, why not?
Right.
If management says, hey, I will pay all the carriers for the time that they were wrong. Sure, why not? If they were willing to pay, let's get that signed up now. Okay?
Okay.
But... when you agree to say, well, you know what? I'm going to agree to the letter of warning for 3 months verbally. Right. When you didn't present all your contentions. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Then verbally, it's not right.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Okay? Because then it's not fair for the carrier because right. you're not really representing
full
the carrier
representation,
because you're not giving the management the full contention of saying, hey, this is what was wrong and this is why you should not be disciplining this carrier.
Right.
Okay. And that is the reason why the contentions are very important. Okay. And if you can avoid doing it verbal, you should avoid the verbal.
Yeah, sure. Okay? Because there may be dispute on the back end
exactly.
over what was that issue.
Okay?
Okay.
And that is the reason why contentions are very important. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, once you write up the contentions, you're writing the contentions.
Okay.
So it's like, hey, this carrier was disciplined on this day for the reasons by imagined by this, this, and this. And then the union says, saying that this person was doing this and this and this, and therefore the reason of article says this, and article says say that. But all the highlighted stuff, you start putting it in the contentions.
Okay.
And the reason why you're using it.
Right.
Okay.
Like the contractual site that goes along with
so,
it.
Let's say it's attendance.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the carrier says that they were incapacitated to go to work.
Right.
And so, therefore, you use the ELM part where it says that when you are incapacitated to go to work, that you are to use a sick leave program.
Right.
Okay?
Right. And that's a reasonable reason not to come to work.
Part of the ELM into that contentions to use that for the argument for the carrier.
Right. Okay? I've done that even where I'm citing the Nevada revised statutes, where like they cited a carrier for a U-turn, and I had to find in the law what the law is about the U-turn.
Because in the Article 3 it says management has to follow
all the laws, regulations.
Laws, contracts, memorandums, et cetera, and handbooks and manuals and so forth, including all the laws.
Right.
And so that's why you bring up that too.
Right. And so I'm printing out Nevada revised statutes and highlighting the appropriate section. Yeah.
Or a supervisor using fraud and doing stuff, you can bring up what the fraud charges are, what they're violating,
what the law
they're
violating. Fraud,
you can put that in there also. Because not only are they violating with the no mutual respect and the fact that they're using some different fraud information to issue discipline or something.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things. Anyway, I'm just kind of
That's fine.
But these are things that you find, and that's why you go and get the information that you need. And sometimes, you know, you're not going to remember to get all the information. So later on, you'll remember something that, hey, you know what? I forgot. I need to get that information. That's why you have the little notebook with you so you can write it down.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, I forgot. I need this. So you don't forget.
Right.
So that you can go over at the end of the day. So, okay, did I get all the information I need? And then you already wrote it down, so now you can ask for the information request.
Dude, that's
good. At the end of the day, if you give it to a manager at the end of the day, they don't have it till the end of tour because you're at the end of the tour, right?
Right,
so they got it at the end of tour the following day.
That's reasonable.
To provide you with the information.
Sure. That's reasonable.
Okay? That's how that works, unless you're being nicer and give them another day.
Okay, so you've gotten your information, you've written your contentions.
So now you're writing the contentions up.
Okay.
Okay. And then after the contentions, now you're requesting, because you're finished with writing up the whole grievance.
Right.
And then now you, and once you write up the whole contentions, now you have to decide what remedy you're looking for.
Ah, yes.
Okay. That is very important because you want to go up to management and say, hey, this is the remedy I'm looking for.
Right.
You know, this is the reasons why I believe the discipline need to be expunged because of these rules and this, and whatever it may be. And that's the reason why I believe that needs to be expunged. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the result that you're looking for.
Okay. That's your remedy.
Or if it's a contract violation where they have to pay money, then you put the number of the money that you put together and then say, this is how much money that's needed. So you put a contention and remedy of saying, hey, you need to pay these carriers this amount of money.
Right.
Okay. So you got to, even though you did the contention.
And potentially cease and desist.
And or, potentially cease and desist or whatever.
Right. Stop.
You
got
to put all
this.
That in there.
Right.
What you want to resolve that grievance on.
Right.
Okay. And because that is important, because if you go up to management, you do all this argument, they go, okay, well, what do you want?
Right.
I don't know. Well, then what good is that argument if you don't know what you want?
Yep, okay? Absolutely.
So if you can think of, you know, what the best results, because here's the thing, you may try to think doing that, you know, something was up, but you don't know what the result to use.
Right.
At that time, you can call the hall, you can call the other stewards and say, hey, what's the good way to resolve this thing?
Right. On that note, I want to digress for just a sec, because this is not at the back of my mind for a long time, is I get emails and messages from people that are having problems in their branch, and one person messaged me because he found out that during COVID that his branch took out a PPP loan, a Paycheck Protection Program, which is intended to like float businesses through COVID. But the union wasn't shut down during COVID. And so this, apparently the president of their union at the time took out this loan for like $30,000 or something like that.
I believe that's illegal.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But that money.
My opinion.
yeah, right. Yeah. Dude, I'm not saying it was right.
I can guarantee if they called the national, they would have said, no, you can't do that.
Right. So this president took out the loan and put the money into like the operating fund for the union. And now that president has retired. He's out of the, you know, not the president anymore. And this guy, the carrier is saying like, hey, I just found out about this. This, and then the PPP forgave the loan because that was at the end. Like if your business is still open or whatever the conditions were, the loan gets forgiven. You never have to pay it back. So the branch is just $30,000 richer, but these are ill-gotten gains.
Right.
And so the dude brings this to my attention and I'm like, yeah, I can see just like you said, like, yeah, I can see how that would be a problem, especially if you took this loan, like without the approval of the branch and like, dude, it's not okay. And it, but why I bring this up now is I asked the guy, what do you want done about it? And his answer was, well, it's not right. The, you know, somebody needs, okay, well, that person's not the president anymore. What do you want done about it? And when you get to that point and then there's no answer, well, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same in the grievance. Like, okay,
same thing.
Okay, yes, you've made an argument. What do you want me to do about it? You better have an answer.
Yeah, so the resolve is very important because you need to know what you want.
Right.
Okay? And sometimes you ask the carrier what they want.
Dude, I almost always ask the carrier.
Yeah, because...
Because I'm doing this for them.
Well, contract, you know what to request. You don't need to request it from the carrier because a lot of that is
already laid out.
Contract and how to get that money.
Right. Okay? What it
but
means
on discipline
to be
wise, you can ask for discipline or harassment issue, you know, ask the carrier what they want.
Right.
Okay. And you try to get what they want.
Right.
Okay? You can't get everything what they want because they may just say, well, I want the manager to jump up and down for 100 times.
Okay,
that may not work.
To me, that's a big part of being a steward is because I'm representing this carrier, I want, you know, I want to settle it to the carrier's satisfaction as much as possible, but I also have a responsibility to manage expectation and to say like, look, you did call out 11 times in the last 4 weeks. And I'm probably not going to be able to, you know, without ever like reason or, you know, whatever.
Oh, no, that is a bad example.
Okay. All right. Bad example.
That's a bad example.
All right. So let's say
because
like.
Because anytime people call in, they have the right to call in no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what reason it is.
Well,
it is management has to prove
that they're abusing,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all right. So there is absolutely no reason just by looking at their attendance.
Right. Yeah. That's fair. Okay. Yeah. So whatever the issue is, you know, then. I talk to the carrier and say like, look, I may not be able to get this removed completely because you did do, you know, X or Y. And I'm not going to go in there and lie to them and say that you didn't, but I want to make sure you're treated fairly. And so if you think that you can correct this behavior, maybe I can get it down to 6 months. And as long as you don't do anything else in the next 6 months, then we're good. You know, or I can get it. Like, I don't think management followed their due process and they should have given you a letter of warning before they went to the 14-day suspension. Maybe I can get it reduced to a letter of warning. All of this stuff I talk over with the carrier beforehand.
So a lot of times when I talk to the carrier, let's say on discipline, and they then they receive a 14-day suspension.
Yeah.
Okay. And I go, have you gotten a discussion on it just before? He's like, no. Have you got a letter of warning or 7-day suspension? No. Okay. Yeah. Well, because they're supposed to do progressive discipline, they're skipping ahead.
Right.
So on this, I'll probably get it thrown out because they are
it's not
being punitive and not being corrected by issuing a higher discipline.
Right.
Okay. And so something like that, I can explain to the carrier that, hey, this is how it works.
Right.
Okay. And then I say that, so that's the result that I'm going to be looking for is to be expunged and removed from all files because they were management didn't do it right.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, if it's something where I say, well, this carrier was selling drugs at this apartment complex and post inspector came in and raided the apartment with the warrant and found out that he was selling drugs out of this apartment that he was delivering out of.
Right.
Yeah, there might be some issues on that.
Yeah.
And in which case then, you know, there'll be a different story. Okay.
Right.
Because there's no way that I can get that person completely out of it. you know, maybe we'll get discipline out of it instead of maybe being fired from the post.
Yeah, right, right.
But either way, you know, that's something we can
figure out. Yeah, it depends on the specifics of the case.
Exactly. And so as a steward, our job is to protect the carrier no matter what.
And protect the contract.
And protect the contract no matter what. Okay. Yeah. And so that's where I believe a lot of branches are failing at is they're not really protecting the carrier. Okay. So I'm going to give you an example that happened to me.
Okay.
Okay. Is that I got an attendance discipline.
Okay.
Okay. And
Michael, for shame.
I know, right? Okay. And all right. So last year I went to had a shoulder surgery.
Okay.
And so I was out and I had an FMLA up till September of last year.
Okay.
And, but of course the FMLA ended.
Okay.
And with my shoulder, with the muscles having some problems. And so during the winter time when that was happening, I was in a lot of pain.
No, so like sometimes it flares up.
Right.
Okay.
And so I was taking some painkillers.
Ah, there you go.
So which I don't take them anymore, but I was taking some painkillers. And so, well, it says that it'll cause dizziness.
Yeah. And like you shouldn't drive.
That I should not drive.
Right.
So I cannot drive. So if I get any closer, I'm going to be putting my mouth on the microphone.
Yeah, that's proper mic technique. Yeah.
So anyway.
Dude, if you could hear in these headphones how much better that sounds. Okay.
So
all right, anyway.
So anyway, where was I?
Oh, you're taking painkillers.
Yeah. So I can't drive to work or I cannot drive at work. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that was what was happening.
Okay.
Well, of course, management says that, you know, you used up all your sick leave and you're starting to use your annual leave. Because last year when I used the workman's comp, I didn't want to get paid 2/3 pay. So I used up all my sick leave so that I can get all my full-time pay.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have that choice, you know, as on workman's comp. You know, if you have enough sick leave, why not use it to get full pay, not 2/3 pay?
All right.
And so that's what I did.
Okay.
But now that I'm not feeling good.
It'd be nice to just use like a 30 year sick pay to fill the gap.
Right.
But anyway.
So anyway, that's why I didn't have any more sick leave to use. I'm starting to use some annual leave.
Okay.
Okay. And so management's like, well, see, you used up all the sick leave. And so you're abusing it. Was I really abusing it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I'm using it because of workman's comp, right?
Oh, right. The first time when you used it all up. Uh-huh. Yeah, clearly you were out on FMLA. You were on workers' comp.
And then now, because I used up all the sick leave, I'm using some annual leave to cover it because I was in pain.
Right, sure.
Okay. And so now I'm getting punished for that.
Yeah. And so this is like to your argument.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to cite like you previously used all your leave. Mm-hmm. Dude, that was all approved leave. That's not abuse.
Exactly.
That's approved leave.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so management is disciplining me and then doing an investigative interview. You know, why are you calling in sick? I said, I was incapacitated to go to work and be at work.
Right. Is it possible they didn't know what word you were saying?
Hey,
I'm just messing with you.
It's up to them to know what.
Yeah.
I'm going by using because I'm.
What's the shop steward? That's the language in the ELM.
That is a language that's used in the employee labor manual that says that if you're incapacitated to go to work, that you need to call in sick.
Right.
That actually says that in ELM.
Dude, that's what it's for.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why the sick leave program exists for some of that purpose.
Yes.
Okay? Because if you actually read the employee labor manual, there are three reasons of why you would call sick leave. And one of the reasons is if you're incapacitated to go to work. Right.
If you have infectious disease, there's a handful of reasons
why. So some things are automatically authorized to call in sick.
Right. I'm going to interject here because if you're a new listener to Classes of Mail, if you go back to previous seasons, I think it was season 3, I read the entire ELM from cover to cover. I skipped some of the boring parts, but like that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in the 600s or wherever it is, I go over all that and read the actual language from the ELM and talk about it. The articles of the contract that we're talking about, season 1 or 2 or whatever it was, I read the entire Joint Contract Administration Manual. Go back and check out those back episodes. And while you're at it, give a like and review to the rated 5 stars. Anyway, okay.
Yeah. So, and just things like that where you're putting that information in.
Yep.
And so this is the stuff that I told management. Now, now here's the thing. I don't need to tell management my personal life why.
Right, but this is during the investigative interview.
But during the investigative interview, saying this is the reason. I don't need to give them the information on like my personal information on why I was incapacitated. Because they already know because they know that I used the workman's comp the previous year.
Right.
Okay. And they know it too, but they're just purposely doing the disciplining because while I'm running for president, and now I'm not the steward. They just want to come and get after me for any little thing that I do because right. I made their life miserable.
Okay? Yeah. And now you have to rely on another steward to do instead of you being the steward. Yeah.
Well, right. Technically, I do not you have could to do rely your own. I can do my letter. Own, which I yep. may do now. Okay.
Right.
But anyway, I'm letting people know what the problem was.
Okay.
So the steward, okay, did the verbal set. Trying to do a verbal settlement with no contentions.
Right.
Okay. She couldn't come to terms on any of the resolve.
Okay.
I wonder why. Maybe because you're not prepared with all the contractual language.
Right, right.
Where the violation was coming from, what management was doing.
It's hard to convince management to do something they don't want to do if you don't have like the stick backing you up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So my steward sent up the grievance to Formal A.
Okay.
So at the Formal A, they settled.
The discipline originally was a letter of warning, discipline
for 3 months.
Okay. So it was originally a letter of warning that would stay in your file for 2 years.
Right. And they settled it for 3 months.
Okay.
Let me tell you where people went wrong.
Okay. Go for it.
So the steward, when they sent it up, because I got the full copy of what was used to send to Formal A.
Right.
There was no contentions.
Okay. So it's hard to make your case, but you don't make your case.
There was a interview with the manager.
Okay.
And so management was saying how I violated whatever information that was, right?
Oh, so management made their case, but your representative never made a case.
So my representative never interviewed me to let what the problem was.
Right.
Only got management saying, hey, this guy calls in this many times.
Right.
Okay.
So you're only getting one side of the story to the next level, right?
And key indicator report, attendance at 3972, and how many times I called in,
so
forth, and the clock rings or 3971s that I filled out, and they sent it to Formal A.
Right.
What's missing out of all that? I mean, I told you it was missing contentions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what's really missing?
I don't know, dude. Tell me.
My point of view.
Oh, yeah, sure. Right. Like the interview with you that explains what's going on. Well, what about the investigative interview? That's day in court.
Right.
You told your side there, right? The
interview, I said I was incapacitated. But everything else other than that was all management's side. So when you're up to Formal A, you're only getting management's side and nothing that's my side.
Right.
Okay. Now, this is where the Formal A failed.
Okay.
If you know that you're not getting information on the carrier, what they did, then you need to do some more investigation because the steward didn't do its whole job.
Right. So the Formal A should be reaching out
and find out the reasons why this person called in sick on these times, or at least talk to the carrier and find out.
Right.
Because they don't have to tell you their personal information. That's protected by the HIPAA laws.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, but at least get a statement.
Right. When I
interview the carrier.
Right. For this same thing, you know. And I'll tell them, like, look, you don't have to give me your personal information, but if you think it helps your case, then I recommend it, you know? But if you want to keep it yourself, you know, so be it. But to your point.
But I was never given that opportunity.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So all the Formal A got was all basically management's point of view.
Right.
Okay? And so I believe the Formal A made an opinion for himself without all the knowledge.
Right, because there's no evidence that they looked at this other stuff.
Verbally agree with management with no contentions again.
Right, because when you went to the union hall or contacted them and asked for the contentions, they told you there weren't any.
Yeah, so there was a verbal agreement.
Right.
Okay, so on this, they failed to represent the carrier because you didn't use all the stuff that needed to be used. To represent the carrier.
Right.
All you did was you talked to management thinking, this guy called in like 5 times in 2 months, so this guy needs to be disciplined for 3 months.
Right.
Not knowing exactly why it was called in.
So no case file is going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. No case file is going to have every possible thing in it.
I don't blame both of them.
Okay. Right.
You know who I blame?
Go ahead.
It's the hall, our branch. Officers, because they did not train them properly.
I went through that when I became a steward. The training was essentially
first
zero.
Of all, steward need to be, you know, if steward is brand new, don't get me wrong, our steward is only like 2-3 months old.
Yeah.
Okay. So never really filed grievances before.
They don't know what they're doing yet.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Even though I asked him, hey, do you know how to file this? And he goes, yeah, I'll be okay. I'm not going to just put my fourth in there and say, you need to do it this way.
Now, right.
That's not
right.
Who I am.
Yeah.
They're going to have to ask me the questions. I'm going to try to help guide them. But the problem with the Formal A is that they should have all that knowledge to be there. They chose somebody who didn't have all that knowledge or didn't train them properly. That is all our branch officers.
Right, because they're alienating good Formal A's, holding people out. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Not knowing all the rules or how to fight it, because in reality, just doing verbal is, you're being lazy and not actually doing your job. Well,
certainly at the formal level.
At the Formal A level.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Because when it's at the Formal A, you're at the higher level, and you should find all the contentions there is to fight for the carrier. Yeah. So when you do it verbally, and you're not, because I'm human.
Yep.
I will not remember all the contract violations that management did to bring up to the, and fight for the carrier. That's why the contention is there, so you write all that down, so you don't lose anything.
Right. And then the next level can build on that.
And
if they have to, they can remove stuff from it, too.
Yeah.
Because they have that option.
At the Formal A level, if they come to a disagreement or saying they cannot come to a resolve, you've already wrote up the contentions.
Right. Now it's
so
ready
now you can just send it straight up.
Right.
Now, this is where our branch fails also.
Oh, boy.
Okay? Is that...
According
because
to you.
Let me tell you why.
It's too bad you guys can't see the way Michael just rolled his eyes.
Because of verbal, you cannot send the grievance up.
Right, because there's no
contention. Because there is no contention.
You can't add to it when it goes to the next level. Well, dude, if it's settled, then you're not going to send it up anyway.
Because you settled it lazily, like the 3 months of a letter warning, that is not good for the carrier because this is what they agreed on.
Okay.
Is that management and the union had agreed for the carrier who was on painkiller who cannot drive to come to work from now on.
Right, because management is essentially accusing you of abusing your sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we agree to that and we say, okay, we're going to settle for this amount of discipline, you're saying that management's right, that the carrier is abusing their sick leave. Mm-hmm. We just think the punishment's too harsh.
Yeah. And so now the settlement basically says is that, you need to go to work even though you're on painkillers.
Right.
Even though the label says it might make
because
you drowsy.
Doing that.
And you could fall asleep on the wheel.
Right. Because not coming to work when you're on painkillers is now worthy of discipline as adjudicated by the union and management.
And so what happens next time when you try to fight that grievance?
Right.
Management said, well, you agreed to this
settled.
Before.
Yeah, right. You've already agreed that this is okay. Mm-hmm. Right. It's precedent setting. Well, it's not, but it is.
And
it's
that is persuasive. Why they are not representing the carriers. Even though they did it on me, it's the other carriers that it's not fair to.
Right.
Okay. And so that is where training is very important.
Right.
Okay. Because if they were trained properly, they would do things correctly.
Right.
They would know to fight how to do the arguments. Because if you are prepared for the argument by writing up the conventions, it's a lot easier to fight the argument because you have it all prepared.
So let me ask you this, Michael. Another question for you.
Sure.
Do you think that you can get your act together in the next 3 months and actually come to work? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now here's where I'm at a impasse.
Yeah, there's the difficulty that it causes
because
for you.
Now if I take painkillers, do I drive to work and put my health, safety online, and then go to work and drive the postal vehicle and have that safety.
And these are questions that should have been asked in an interview of management by the steward.
Yes.
That if the carrier has to take pain pills for their recognized condition, should they still come to work? Should they still drive to work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or should they, should they drive a postal vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. That's all.
Those are all the things that need to be asked. That is where it is very important for the steward and the Formal A to make sure you get all the information before you go sit with management to resolve an grievance.
Right. Okay? And talking
and
to you
and that's
about
not
it
just me.
Right.
It could be other somebody. Like, remember I told you about the drug thing?
Yeah, yeah.
What if it was somebody else who did it and then it carries again blamed for?
That's a great question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got to do the... Right. Investigation, find out. And that's the job that we took as a steward.
Right.
Okay?
You owe that to your carrier. That's what you signed up for.
The truth, find out the information.
Right.
And because you don't want the carrier to get blamed for somebody else's doing.
Right.
Okay. Because management always loves to blame the carrier for everything. You know, if you get an accident, it's your fault.
Right.
Until you prove otherwise. you know, you didn't get the ticket. The other person hit you, but the management all of a sudden said, oh, no, that's your fault. Because right. you should find a way to avoid that.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot right. of things that happens that management tries to blame the carrier.
Right.
That is why it's steward's duty to make sure you get all the information to do right. that. I had a phone call from one of the stewards asked me.
All right. And then we got to wrap this up.
Okay. okay. From a different station about safety.
Okay.
This carrier got into an accident.
Right.
Okay. Carrier asked management to be with a steward when management shows up to the accident.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they have that right to have a steward present on that time?
If management's going to start asking them questions, then absolutely. In our local agreement.
I promise I will not ask questions.
In our local agreement, right here in Vegas anyway,
okay.
it says that if there is a motor vehicle accident, that the union president, the local union president, is supposed to be notified immediately.
Okay. But also.
And we need to be able to come out and do our own investigation.
Article 17.
Uh-huh.
As a steward job, as a duty.
Right, to do an investigation.
Also
uh-huh.
To question witnesses.
Ah, right. And so the witnesses okay. are there at this time.
At the accident.
Right.
So the steward should be able to go there to ask questions.
Sure. And there may be evidence there mm-hmm. at the scene, exculpatory evidence mm-hmm. at the scene that the steward would no longer have access to right. after the fact.
So
yeah.
when the carrier requests a steward,
right.
yes, they should be going there to do that.
Right.
But when they request it, management said, no, you don't need to.
Right.
Or they call the hall, they're like, it's okay. You don't need to do that.
Right.
So who's in the right here? Who's supporting the carrier here?
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and the carrier feels trapped, right?
Yeah.
And right. that is the problem. That's what's happening in a lot of the places right now because they're not getting supported.
Okay? Right.
And that needs to be fixed. Yeah. And, but anyway, I'm veering the subject because we're talking about stewards, okay? And so these are some of the stewards' responsibilities that we have right. to resolve grievances. You know, if you have to go in that talk to the witnesses, you have that right. If you have the OIG who raided this apartment for drugs or whatever, you have the right to interview them too, okay? So you have the right to interview anybody. You have the right to get any information that the Postal Service has. And so our steward, which I love this by Corey Walton.
Right.
Stewards are the lions at the workplace, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so we're the most important people at the workplace.
Right.
The stewards are. And that is very true because we're that important because we're trying to find the right information and we're trying to protect the carrier.
Yeah, we're that front line of defense.
Yeah. Absolutely. And here's the thing.
The steward on the workroom floor.
A carrier does something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It is management's responsibility to find that information, not us.
Right.
We're like lawyers.
And to
we
prove
still
their case.
Protect them.
Yep, that's exactly right. And, you know, Corey's brought this up, and it's such a good example, like with the seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am a rules follower. I try to do everything the right way. And I guarantee you that I have driven without the seatbelt on before, that I just have a moment that I space out and then I get a block down the street and I'm like, oh shit, I don't have my seatbelt on. It's not because I'm trying to break the rules. It's not because I'm trying to be unsafe. It's because I'm a human fucking being.
Mm-hmm.
And these things happen. And so, yeah, even the carrier who didn't wear their seatbelt, that carrier deserves a defense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what kind of day they're having. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know if it's just a one-off or any of that
stuff. Or the temperature is 125 degrees and you can barely think straight.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Right. Whatever those mitigating circumstances are, that's your obligation as the steward to take up for that carrier.
Mm-hmm.
We all break the rules sometimes intentionally or unintentionally. We all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we deserve grace for that.
And that is the reason why as stewards, we took the job mm-hmm. to protect all letter carriers.
Yeah. And that's why discipline is supposed to be corrective
mm-hmm.
rather than punitive.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And just like what we were talking about, how they issued a 14-day suspension before the 7-day or the letter warning
right.
or the discussion. Because
they're not trying to correct it.
Yeah, they're not trying to punish. They're just trying to be punitive. And that's why. But the biggest problem now is that, management filed a 14-day suspension.
Right.
And then the steward or the formal A go, I did a great settlement and it's got you a 7-day suspension for 3 miles.
Right.
Is that a good settlement when you've never had
a grievance
before?
It depends
on
the facts of the case. Oh, yeah. Okay? Then no. Right. They should have stopped.
Because everything is supposed to be progressive. Now, if it's something where you're selling drugs and you got caught on something like that, then you have to settle on a grievance that's going to be corrective to the problem that was happened. But when it's something that's, you know, something that is like minor,
right,
they still have to follow the progressive discipline.
Right.
They have to try to, management has to try to correct the problem.
Right. Okay?
And not be punitive.
Yeah. And it's fair to ask management, well, what steps have you taken to try to correct this problem? Yeah.
And that is actually the stewards make sure, say, hey, in the Article 16 says that there's all these steps of all the whys
right.
ask those questions. So that is very important when you're writing up your contentions to go through the it's simple. You open up the book on Article 16.
Yeah, it has that list.
It has the list of what you should, why was this discipline done or, was this uneducated the discipline? Was this a double jeopardy? All
there's
these reasons are all that in there, and you find out the reasons, and you know to protect your carrier,
right?
Okay? And if you see that the carrier did something wrong, it doesn't matter. You're there to protect the carrier, okay?
Right.
And
the contract.
And you'll have some carriers say, you're doing too good of a job. You're protecting everybody, even though they're wrong. But guess what? That is my job.
Yeah, well, and that means that management's wrong.
Because if
management did that, go ahead.
I had a carrier at my station who called in sick at least 7 years in a row and only came in 2 to 3 days a year. Yes.
Okay.
And I saved the job all those years. You know why? Because management did the process wrong.
Yeah.
And I saved his job every time.
That's it, right? We have a couple of carriers at my station who are not great carriers, but management looks the other way. They let stuff go. They don't do their discipline properly. They don't do proper investigations. And it's like management could fire this person, but they actually have to put in the work.
They have to do the procedure correctly.
Yeah. And if they did, then they could probably get there.
And if they don't do it properly,
that's on management.
As a steward, you do your job to protect the carrier.
Dude, there's this quote from Oscar Goodman, former mayor of Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And he was a mob lawyer.
Yes, he was.
And so there was this documentary about like the real story behind Casino or something like that, the movie. And the documentarian is interviewing this prosecutor. And the prosecutor is reading the riot act about Oscar Goodman, that you have these defendants who murdered a dozen people and did this racketeering and did all this stuff. And you got those defendants off. Shame on you, Oscar Goodman. And then it cuts to Oscar Goodman. And he says, you know, if my client really murdered a dozen people, and you couldn't get a conviction, shame on you, Mr. Prosecutor.
Uh-huh. Because you didn't find all the proof.
You're right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Yeah, you still got to get proof.
Yeah.
Because everybody's, I still think we are in a America where you're innocent until you're proven guilty.
That's right. And everyone is entitled to due process.
Yes. And I know there's some of that going on that's kind of crazy.
That there is.
But in our union, the way it is that we took our job as a steward to protect all letter carriers.
That's right.
Okay. And that's including, what do they call them, scabs?
Yeah, including the scabs. Okay? That's right.
And those people who's not in the union, you still got to protect them because they 100%. Are still a letter carrier.
That's right.
Okay. And so we got to protect our craft. And that's the reason why you have to protect them.
There you go. All right. So, dear listeners, I hope you can hear Michael's passion and how devoted he is to protecting letter carriers. This is real. You've heard him on here enough times. You know that's really who Michael is. And that's what we're about. And this is what it takes to be a good steward, to really look out for your carriers, to take up for your carriers. And that's what we want. And so thank you, Michael, for taking, A, for having that passion, and B, taking the time to talk to us about it today. And I hope that people understand the grievance process a little bit better and have a better sense of like what they should expect of their steward and also how they can help their steward by like bringing those grievances to their attention.
And all those stewards, if you got questions, how to do the procedure, contract questions or anything like that, you know, you can contact through via email,
classesmail@gmail.com.
Yep.
Right.
And then, of course, you can contact me on my cell phone at 702-724-6355.
Look at that.
Okay.
Good job, Michael. All right. So we will leave it there. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Hey, if I do the music short, we'll stay under an hour. So I think I'm going to do that. Thanks for listening, guys. I'm Alan Gigax. He's Michael Brazenly. This has been Classes of Mail. We will catch you all next time.